he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book, full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live. We are live on the air. Today is Friday, June 14th, 2013. I tell you, it's going to be another great, awesome, productive, interactive, ever-changing show today. Because today it is very, very appropriate. And you say, well, how is that, what makes it appropriate? Well, what makes it appropriate is the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, I know everybody, a few people emailed me and said, what the hell kind of title is this? I said, well, tune in. Because today, it's all about Sesame Street. No, not the Sesame Street crap. I'm not going to play any audio clips or anything to put you guys to sleep. Hell no. Hell no. That's not what it's going to be about today. But the Sesame Street is going on in the world of sports. That's right, Matt. I know you're inappropriate. We all are. Got Matt Broderick and DDP in the chat room. The chat room is open, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you, I cannot believe the way things have happened in the world of sports. Which is why it became a fruitless title, a title that probably to most people won't mean anything. I mean, if a normal Joe comes into the chat room and like and starts going crazy, where's the Sesame Street music? I thought this was a kid's show. That's not why it's called Sesame Street. This is not a kid's show. Gotta welcome Jim Mickles into the chat room. How you doing? Because the very essence of sports has now led us to and down the road of Sesame Street-like sports. Gotta give a big shout out to Craig from the group because he called me last night. We were talking. He said, yeah, have you watched Impact Wrestling? I said, not yet. But I was just getting ready to. So we talked for a little bit, and he said, so what's your show going to be called? Sesame Street or something like that? And I said, you know what? That's a good name. That's a damn good title for the show. So thank you, Craig, for today's title. You can all thank Craig. Craig Brooks. That's who you need to thank, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I mean, for the past 6 weeks, we've been changing it up around here, you know? I mean, hell, everybody knows that we always start with the NFL. But we haven't been doing that, and that's okay. We can always go to the NFL later. Couch Potato did that when he took over for me 2 weeks ago when I was gone. He didn't even do that until later on in the show. It's okay. It's all good. It is all good. Because you want to talk about Sesame Street. Did anybody in the chat room or anybody listening live, and some people have told us that, hey, we can listen to all the different Blog Talk Radio shows in our car. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But anyway, if you're listening, I hope to God that either somebody in the chat room or somebody listening out there Sesame Street really occurred this past Tuesday. Between the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. And it was only the fifth inning. Halfway through the game. Look, I understand being hit by a damn baseball. That shit hurts. It hurts like hell. But there is no reason to clear both benches. And to top it all off, Matt, do you know who the hell jumped out there on the field from the Dodgers? Darren Maculay, Brian Green, I mean, and so many other guys, seven different guys, and I went, what the hell are they all doing on the field? Aren't they on the disabled list? You even had guys from the Dodgers disabled list jumping onto the damn field because everybody wanted to attack everybody. Oh, wait, I said to top that all off, didn't I? No. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. That didn't top it all off. To top it all off, Mark McGwire, the guy who's supposed to be a team representative now, kind of like a managing general partner thing. But Mark McGwire, who's not even involved with baseball, I mean, he is, but not as a player, he goes and grabs one of the players and he just throws him to the ground. And Matt, DDP, it kind of looked like the night that the Mexicans, remember when they came to Raw and Daniel Bryan's over there choking out Justin Roberts with the damn tie? That's what Mark McGwire was doing. He's down there, he threw somebody to the ground. Then he starts choking one of the Diamondback players out. I know, Jim. Jim in the chat room said, it wasn't even that good of a damn brawl. Of course. It wasn't even a brawl. They look like a couple of stupid little girls out there. Not that girls are stupid, I'm just saying. Quote me on this. They look like stupid little girls out there. That's what they look like. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. McGwire is the batting coach. He's a representative of the team. He's not a player anymore. Which means it gives him no right to go out there and start putting his hands on other people. You can't do that when you're a representative now. You're a batting coach. Even if you were the head coach. High school catfight. Yeah. Matt Broderick said that, well, couldn't really see anything with the Cubs and the White Sox game on Monday. Nothing but fog. I bet. Yeah, because our atmosphere here in California, Matt, I think it has something to do with transcending that to you guys there in Chicago. We're going to get to Chicago in a minute. Matt Broderick is representing all of Chicago right now in the chat room. Although, I know Matt Broderick will tell me the truth, but then again, never know. you don't always have to tell the truth. But I'm sure maybe Matt Broderick, all of our good friends with Matt Broderick there, I'm sure Corey and all the guys are in the house listening, aren't they? You got your girlfriend over there too, don't you, Matt? Go ahead and lie. Be like, they're not here. Nope, nobody's here but me. Oh, that's, you're lucky. You guys have a dome there. No weather. Matt's like, Steph working. My girlfriend did not work. But yeah, Matt Broderick is representing all of Chicago. We're going to get to that in just a second. But Mark McGuire, you're a representative of both the team and Major League Baseball. You can't be putting your hands on people. You're not a player anymore. And what about you, you damn Dodgers? The reason why I call them the damn Dodgers is because they're the big, big rivals to my San Francisco Giants. Seven of your guys are on the disabled list, but all of them ran out onto the field and got involved in the fight. Started punching the other guy out. Are they really disabled? That's the big question that Major League Baseball is now trying to figure out. And Bud Seeling has lost his mind. He said, well, you know, emotions get the better of guys. What? Bud Seeling, in all the years that I've heard you make statements, they've been smart or average statements, but this? You're the commissioner and you're saying stuff like this? It's time for somebody else to take over Major League Baseball. I'm serious. I've had it up to here with Bud Seeling. Oh, Corey can't hang over with you today, Matt. And Anthony's working. Eddie doesn't want to play Halo. Well, good. You can tell Eddie what I said on the show, what I'm about to say about him. I agree with him. If I was there with you, Matt, I'm sorry, I'm just not a fan of Halo. Maybe he's not either. Giants are your number two and Rays are your number one. Well, all right, I respect that. I respect that. Very cool, very cool. Glad everybody is enjoying themselves in the chat room. Well, let's hope that this never, ever happens again. Like I said, I understand being hit with a baseball. Sure, it almost hit him in the eye, and he would have had a black eye if he would have got hit. But to clear both benches, come on now. You want to fight like that, or if you want to, you know, throw some fist, go join National Hockey League, or go become a pro wrestler. Like Rampage Jackson, he's still hot commodity right now because of, you know, him joining Impact Wrestling. Ah, nice, Matt. Nice. Ah, well, Barry Bonds has long history. He's gone. No more on the Giants. Thank God. But let's get to right into that. Speaking of representing Chicago, Matt Broderick and the chapman is proud to represent Chicago. Your Blackhawks scored again on Wednesday night. I can't believe this. The team that everybody doubted, I didn't doubt them. I said, well, they're a tough team. I told all my other friends, well, they might make it, they might not. We'll see what happens. Remember 2 weeks ago, I said, you guys are going to play the hardest team ever, and that's my team, the San Jose Sharks. And that didn't even work. You guys figured out all the Sharks' plays, and after this past week, from a few days ago on Wednesday, you guys kicked ass again. How many more games have the Blackhawks got to go, Matt? Oh, my goodness. I tell you, one more game? You guys are only down one more game to go? Ah, shit. Dang. Well, what could be better, right? I mean, at least the world of sports is somewhat, you know, straining to convince themselves not to look so pathetic on all sides, that is. I tell you. Jim says this time we'll win at home in game 7. Wow. Third period overtime. Yeah, I guess that would have been awful. That might have been awful. Matt, your dad got pissed off about something Corey Crawford did. Just started yelling at the TV. God damn it, Corey! I tell you. That's different, you know. Oh, and Corey was actually there, too. He thought your dad was talking to him, but he was talking about the TV Corey from hockey. Your dad's like, damn it, Corey. Corey's like, what did I do? Not you, the National Hockey League player. Oh, okay. That's hilarious. That's why you got to kind of be funny. You got to be careful when you have the same damn name as somebody else. Yeah, crazy. And what do you guys think about this? I mean, we've got so much to go into today. I know last week that we said on the show and everybody's been talking about it. All weekend long, I listened and checked out different Blog Talk radio shows that were all saying the same thing. This is the true end of Jason Kidd. Yeah, Jason Kidd is no more. No more for him. He's done. Finished. And not to put the other Blog Talk radio hosts down on this cool network, but I didn't think it was over. I knew something was up because, you know, based on some of the statements that Jason Kidd made, well, we'll just see what happens and all this other stuff. And now he's back in the NBA. As a coach, though. He claims he can be the best coach ever. He said, I might be, you know, good enough to be a number 2 or number 3 coach. I'm not so sure about that, but, you know, you can't judge him just yet. I mean, I know we've all put our judgment on Michael Jordan for becoming the commander-in-chief, the one in charge of the Wizards, and that went south, and it's, well, he's still in charge, which means it's still going south. I can't believe it. But I never thought that anything like this would actually verintively happen, you know what I mean? But Because, hey, this is the way it is in the world of sports. And, you know, the Sesame Street thing has nothing to do with Michael Jordan or any of them, or Jason Kidd. It's just something that happened to be, you know, part of the show that I put in there. Yeah, very, very compelling. I mean, you gotta just sometimes go with it. Other times you don't really have to go with it. You can just be like, you know what? Screw this. It sucks. It's not even funny anymore. But to most people are like, well, that's life. And, you know, they say things like that. They really do. But not when it comes to somebody younger than you. And by younger, I mean, if you didn't watch Jimmy Kimmel last night, then you really, really need to pay attention and come out of that rock from which you're hiding. Especially when it concerns someone like this.
Station, Jimmy Kimmel, we met him. The kid cannot miss. Maybe the Heat go out and sign this kid. Take a look.
Titus is going to shoot from 6 feet away, Shaq from 18 feet. Gentlemen, you will each have 30 seconds. You want Titus to go first. Here we go. You have to beat Titus's score of 8. Do you feel ready to do this?
Of course.
Begin. Here we go.
Shaq, not known for shooting 18 footers, so we can cut the big fellas in slack, but that Titus is still shooting and still not missing. He's unbelievable.
That is adorable.
I just feel so bad for Shaq. I know that's not what he's supposed to, but that's just embarrassing.
He's cute, though. It's
and I love him.
All we need is comedy.
Always on live TV.
Yeah, you said it. You said it. Live TV. 2-year-old Titus makes. Titus has been kicking everybody's ass in the NBA, and he did admit he doesn't want to be a basketball player when he gets older. But that could be 30 years from now. Who knows? Okay, we'll give it 20. And hopefully he'll have some smart brain and know when to shut up and all the other good stuff that we always talk about here on this show. It's amazing. I just can't believe that stuff like that happens. Let's see. The NFL does not want any trash talking during the offseason. You can thank Roger Goodell for that. I mean, Roger, isn't it a little late for that? If I was in charge of the NFL and if I didn't want any trash talking in the offseason, I would have said something the day after the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's what I would have done. Got on my press release, asked for a whole bunch of television cameras, or instead of television cameras, you know, they're in the world of Twitter now. You just tell the world like that. ESPN would have got a hold of it. Roger Goodell does not want any more trash talking throughout the entire offseason. No trash talking this offseason. That comes from his Twitter account. Imagine if that were to happen, because we know that Roger Goodell, or not even Bud Stealing, nobody really in the older generation wants nothing to do with Twitter or Facebook or anything else. That's why they just go out and have people do it for them. Yes, Roger Goodell needs to seriously go away. He's still young enough to do something about it and go do something else with his life. Bud Seeling leveling into his late 70s now, almost early 80s. But if you've been there for so long in places like that, you don't want to let go of it. You really, really don't. Because you've been in that authority seat long enough. Roger Goodell's been there. Bud Seeling's been there. Dixie Carter's been there for a while. But I think Vince McMahon has been there the longest. Yeah, the way of David Stern. And get the fuck out. You got that right. Speaking of fucks, it's ridiculous when things get out of whack on your own show. Basically, everyone's playing a different hand, especially in WWE. That's what they're known for. They've always been known for that, but for different reasons. That's just how they roll. I mean, we've got a lot of crazy stuff to go over. We're going to hear about some death in the world of wrestling. And also going to hear, speaking of, remember how I just mentioned that the big guys want nothing to do with Twitter. Everyone, that is, except Vince McMahon himself. Well, actually posted something on Twitter. And did you hear the Undertaker's music was played? Not at a wrestling event. Somewhere else. Somewhere else down under. And no, I'm not talking about where he come from. From Death Valley. It has nothing to do with that. It's just out there. That's what it is. That's all it is. Matt Broderick's got to do something. He's got to run. Very understandable with Matt Broderick. I'm going to go tell Chicago what I said about Chicago. Yeah, crazy, right? Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. And it only gets better around here. Only gets extremely better.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Oh.
ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Vic Dirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media. And here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mikado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the big dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
Hi, this is Mark with the Q with Sin City Sessions. Hope you're enjoying the show that you're currently listening to. I certainly am. Here at Blog Talk Radio, we adhere with certain standards which gives you, the listeners, a nice, clean, fun time. There are certain things that we cannot say, like... And... And... And of course... My show, Sin City Sessions, will not use these terms, but it doesn't mean that we won't be talking about naked people, alcohol, sexual innuendos, or combination of all these things in our stories. If you aren't getting lucky Tuesday night, please come to Sin City Sessions at 9 p.m. Pacific Time and midnight on the East Coast. www.blogtalkradio.com/SinCitySessions. At my place, clothing is optional, but fun is mandatory.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Got to welcome guest 1972 into the chat room. Yeah, you guys are doing good. Everybody in the chat room is doing good. As my friend Craig always said, get your snacks on. That's what you guys are doing. Yeah, grilled cheese sandwich. Jim says the grilled cheese sandwich doesn't sound so good right now. Yeah, somehow we always end up talking about food. Well, ever since you joined us, man, we got to thank you for that, Jim. We always talk about food. Let's see. Well, yeah, I think we'll start doing that. After commercials, right before we get back into the brunt of the show, and then if there's time, we'll go back into it again. By the way, speaking of food, since Jim brought it up, has anybody heard of... Oh, crap. What the hell was the name of that restaurant? Oh, I don't remember what... But anyway, this something diner. They just opened up at the local mall here in the area. And I forgot the name of it. My friend took me there. I mean, I know everybody thinks that they got big, big burgers, that their burgers are bigger than anybody else's. But damn, their burgers are very, very big. I'm like, you expect me to eat that whole damn thing? Look how big that shit is. And the girl working behind the counter, she goes, I think you got muscles. I'm sure you can eat it like every other guy could. I go, I think I can do this. And then, in the most respect, I don't know if she was flirting with me, but I know she was respecting what I was trying to do. She said, if you finish the whole burger, no matter how big it is, the damn cheeseburger, I'll give you a free refill. I said, well, thank you. I think that motivated me because I ended up eating the whole damn burger. But I can't believe I forgot the name of it. Damn it. But yeah, it's a good place. It's a good place. Got to welcome guest 1979 to the chat room. Look at that. I'm getting all twisted talking about food and trying to do this shit at the same time. Yeah. But at least I said it right. 1979 is in the chat room with us. That's good. Everybody's joining us here. Great. A lot of food particles will probably be etched in the show towards the end. See what else Jim comes up with while we run all this down. Roddy Piper will play himself in a new movie called Smothered. Now, I know... Nobody has really had a chance to have a sneak peek at it. I have. I got my hands on it. But I don't want to see it. I really don't. Because I'm sure everybody listening live and all of you in the chat room listening, you can all go see it because the film is about a haunted trailer park and filming will begin soon in Louisiana. I'm not into horror films anymore. They're just not scary anymore. Nothing about these horror movies nowadays are scary. I mean, who remembers the title of the Samuel L. Jackson movie? It was a big, big hit, but the movie wasn't a big hit. Of course, I'm talking about Snakes on a Plane. Come on now. Like, there would really be Snakes on a Plane. So such stupid titles in the last 8 years. Independent wrestler Smith James, who signed a WWE developmental deal, will have his final show for New York Wrestling Connection this Saturday. So for all of you in New York, go to the New York Wrestling Connection promotion there And go think about it, Smith James. I know how that is when one of our boys here in Northern California ends up going to WWE or Impact Wrestling. We got to say their final goodbyes with us. So, yeah, go down there and do that if you're in the New York area. Although you could be like my good friend Gary Cantrell, who lives in Washington, but if it's somebody that he knows it's going to be their final farewell, he will drive his ass to another state just to go say goodbye to that person. He's a crazy guy, but I love that guy, Gary Cantrell. The cast of Total Divas, which is the Bella Twins, Natalia, Cameron, Naomi, Eve Marie, and JoJo. You're probably like, JoJo? There's no woman wrestler named JoJo. She's spawning the frontier of the show. In other words, JoJo Hoffman, she's going to be what Ryan Seacrest is to American Idol, the host of the show. But then again, you say, well, isn't Total Divas supposed to be a reality-based show? Like UFC Fighters, when that was a reality show? So I don't know why this reality show would need a TV host. I don't know. But anyway, they all met with Susan G. Komen honorees at Raw in Richmond, Virginia this past Monday before the show. Footage about the reality show will air on E, the E Network, that will begin this summer in just 3 weeks. The 2013 TNA Hall of Fame ceremony for Kurt Angle will be October 19th at the San Diego Marriott Mission Valley. Former WCW wrestler Al Green has passed away this morning. I mean, seriously, just this morning. At the age of 58, he had repeatedly been battling health issues for a while. Green was originally trained by Steve Kern and worked as one half of the Master Blasters tag team back in the 80s with Kevin Nash, for those of you that remember. He also worked with Road Warrior Animal's brother, Marcus Laurinaitis, as one half of the Terminators in the U.S. and Japan. The team got a run in 1993. With WCW as the wrestling crew. And from there had won runs in the CWA and All Japan Pro Wrestling in 95. Green even came back and had a final run with WCW in the company's dying days with the gimmick, the dog. I'm the dog. Remember that? Yeah. For the last few years, Green has been suffering from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which stands for COPD, which is a progressive disease that makes it hard to breathe. He had been using an oxygen tank full time. And in another death, former ECW backstage staffer Debbie Beaumont passed away last month, following her long battle with cancer also at the age of 58. Beaumont was also known among ECW fans as the Nasty Bitch Ticket Lady. She sold tickets at the front door. And even thanks to Paul Heyman, had her own t-shirt sold by ECW, advertising her actual job title, which was Nasty Bitch Ticket Lady. Beaumont was one of Paul Heyman's most trusted people backstage and was also involved and getting talent booked for surprise appearances. Then into the building without people knowing, she was also heavily involved with the day-to-day operations of the promotion as well. In 2001, after ECW closed, Beaumont left the business and is now in the medical field. Well, she went into the medical field, never showing up at reunion shows and only visiting a couple of times. She is well remembered by many involved with the promotion, though. I remember I said before the commercial break, well, before we talk about that, on behalf of the Sports Opinion Show, I'd like to give my condolences to Deborah Beaumont. And of course, Al Green. But like I said before the commercial break, The Undertaker's music, his theme song, was used at an event. And no, it wasn't a wrestling event. The Undertaker's theme music was played during Game 4 of the NBA playoffs last night. I saw that, and I heard it. I was like, I know whose music that is. So if anybody saw that and were like, what the hell is this crappy music? Sounds like haunting music. Well, most NBA fans are not wrestling fans, and they didn't know what the hell was going on. But there were some cheers in the audience, because 50% of the audience was wrestling fans at the NBA playoffs last night for the Miami Heat. But the theme was actually used for the Miami Heat's entrance. I don't know why the Miami Heat picked that entrance. Maybe everybody on the Miami Heat, maybe they're all wrestling fans. Who knows? Vince McMahon posted the following on Twitter. Remember I also said before the commercial break, a lot of the owners who are passe and are too old tell the world what my grandpa and my dad tell me. Don't try and help me sign up for Facebook or any social media site. I won't get it. I won't understand it. It's too complicated. Well, no, not for Vince McMahon. He's on Twitter. Great. He said, I'm expecting a big welcome for CM Punk in Chicago this Sunday, and I will be the first in line at Payback. Yeah, well. Yeah, Jim. DDP. Somehow we always end up talking about food on the show. But yeah, that's the way it goes. Well, you know, it's once again that time, ladies and gentlemen. That time to revel in the mystery, and we need to go back to our main title, because it would offer so many theories about why wrestling is the way it is now. What happened to the good old days? Don't worry, I'm about to change all that. Because in some ways, this show has a lot to do with Sesame Street. The Sesame Street brawl, it's not even a real brawl. They don't even do it correctly anymore. Because Vince doesn't want anyone to get seriously hurt. I understand that. But for so long, this is what everybody expected of wrestlers. And Vince McMahon kindly likes to tell the world for the past how many years he's been doing this? What, 4 or 5 decades now? That I'm the one who single-handedly brought the world to my attention. I'm the one who thought of all the violence that transcended the Attitude Era. No, you didn't. You didn't transcend anything. As Paul Heyman told him one time, you got nothing, man. Nothing at all. Why? Because it wasn't created by him. It would be created by us wrestling fans. We're the ones who demanded violence and demanded tables and demanded the violence to increase. But ever since the October 5th show, when we all found out when they announced that they were going PG, Most people knew that this is it. It's over now. Triple H taking on Curtis Axel. This kind of went both ways. Because it relates, everything I just said relates everything back to Vince McMahon. Sure, in theory, it looked funny because Triple H was like, I'm the COO and you're going to restart this match. And then Vince came out and goes, no, I'm ending the match. This match is a draw. But in real life, they're actually showing and telling the audience the truth. I mean, everybody's known it for a long time now, for a while, that Triple H is the one that Vince picked for him to take over when he finally breathed his last breath. And Vince McMahon's legacy will, of course, live on, but it will be different. Because at first it was winner by disqualification, Curtis Axel. Vince McMahon named him again the winner by forfeit. We'll talk about that later on, too, as we roll on with this. Kane took on Dean Ambrose, but thanks to other members of The Shield, you know, Kane did have help from Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan did, you know, viciously throw one of the members of The Shield on top of, made him land on top of his head. But Randy Orton and Sheamus, they really didn't deliver on making this big, massive save. And even when Michael Cole said, well, here comes the Calvary, those two did not, it didn't look like the Calvary. Because they just made sure that, well, the guys that they're working with, that they really, really, truly, honestly landed safely with no injuries. Why are you worried about injuries? WWE uses floor mats, protective mat coverings around the ring. The Miz took on Cody Rhodes. The Miz won. Thanks to Damian Sandow, because this whole thing just worked off so well. And the Miz being, well, the Miz, it's easy. It's easy to put out there. And the Miz is doing great. Cody Rhodes did good. And, of course, Mark Henry, they say he's going to be back next week on Raw. We'll see how this works out. Chris Jericho, you know, made a bold statement about what he was going to do and how he was going to deal with CM Punk in Chicago this Sunday at the pay-per-view. But, you know, stay with me on this, guys, because I have a very, very important question to ask each of you after I run this down. Because there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts that came from internet wrestling sites and stuff like that, wrestling boards and such like that. But nobody has asked the question that I'm about to ask in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. But like I said, bear with me. We'll get into this and find out really what's going on, because, and Chris Jericho tried to mention that, out came Ziggler and they both, you know, cut promos on each other. Jericho said, well, you know, why don't we have a match? You want to talk so tough? Ziggler said, sure, I'll have a match. You'll get your match. But you're going to wrestle Big E Langston. And Chris Jericho won, still. Sin Cara is back. Where's my enthusiasm? Sin Cara is finally back, and he took on Antonio Cesaro. Welcome back, Sin Cara. It was good to see him last night. But Deb Coulter being on commentary, talking about the Elio aliens. It's quickly becoming a vapored storyline where nobody really cares. Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. It was a no contest, though, because, well, it had been happening all night long that the Shield would come in and try and protect themselves. Yeah, Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins. Daniel Bryan did win his match. But in a lot of people's eyes, he's still the weak link of the team, which is the storyline draw right now. Damian Sandow took on R-Truth. Damian Sandow won because R-Truth just is having problems with his knees. And it looks like they're selling an injury for R-Truth on this. Then, you know, the Ryback-Cena confrontation and that whole deal there. And it wasn't interesting at all. It bored a lot of people to death. But with their newest pay-per-view that wasn't even on the initial scheduling thing. Because I know some of you were here in September when we ran down the entire 2013 schedule with all the pay-per-views listed, along with all the house shows. Remember I said 2 weeks ago that Payback wasn't even listed. That's because they replaced Payback with what used to be Vengeance. And of course, Vengeance used to be St. Valentine's Day Massacre. What is the deal with you fucking keep changing all the goddamn pay-per-view names? It's ridiculous. They even got rid of the King of the Ring, for Christ's sake. But here's the important thing I wanted to ask all of you. I got some reviews about this from Matt Broderick and all of his friends there yesterday from social media. Craig Brooks had said that he agreed with me about it, that the Sunday's pay-per-view, that nobody's really going to watch it. It might be a 50-50 margin, and here's why. Because this Sunday is also Father's Day. Vince McMahon, why would you put a pay-per-view on a respected holiday such as Father's Day and expect big, big numbers? No, I think that Guest 1972, Guest 2015, DDP and Jim, you're all going to take your dads out to dinner, right? You're probably all going to take your dads out to dinner. Everybody listening live is probably going to do the same thing. Oh, today's the pay-per-view? Oh, that's right, I forgot. Yeah, today's the pay-per-view. No, I'm not going to watch the pay-per-view. I don't really care about the productivity. Besides, the matches look good, but not the main event. Besides, it's Father's Day. I got to take my dad out to dinner. I did promise him that. See? Is anybody really going to be home to even watch this pay-per-view? Even though, I know, most people, almost everybody, they still order the pay-per-view the way WWE tells them to order it. But then I come along, and I've been telling you guys for the past 6 years, there's a better way to do it. Just go to any streaming site and watch it illegally. Ever since then, he tried to trash me and call me out on certain things. Vince McMahon, I don't care how. If you're the chairman of the board of WWE, I understand that. I know you're the boss. and you think it's wrong for me to tell my fans, don't pay $40-$50 to a worthless product, because half the time it is. I mean, let's look at the main event that they got. I mean, you know, the pre-show is going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah, see? Everybody in the chat room all just verified what I had confirmed. They're all taking their dads out for Father's Day. You all got them. I know DDP got his Father's Day gift for his dad, right? Maybe a card or something like that. But yeah, see? Everybody tries to do the same thing. And they, you know, it leads back all of us back into, well, I don't care about the product anyway. I care more about Father's Day than the actual product, because it just looks like Sesame Street, which is what our product has been talking about. Because the staple of the whole storyline between Ryback and John Cena, it's pathetic. Sure, the promo starts out good with the guy narrating it. Who will unleash hell? And he sent the word hell at least 5 different times in the promo. During the course of the commercial, John Cena and Ryback, you know, they do synopsis clips from different times that they've fought and wrestled against each other. But look what you got. You've got you've got a lumberjack match. It's 3 stages of hell, but this is not 3 stages of hell, terminally speaking. A lumberjack match has nothing to do with hell. Neither does a lumberjack match. Lumberjack matches don't have anything to do with hell. The ambulance match. Okay, come on. Where's the credibility in this? Because both of them have been cutting promos on each other about sending each other to hell. You're not going to send each other to hell with a bunch of lumberjacks, which is basically the entire locker room that's going to be involved in the match. Then the ambulance match. The second one, what was the second one? I think it was, what, a fucking ladder match? A ladder match might send you to hell in some form or another, but still, no, that's not even nowhere near that. I mean, this is only going to be the third match of this kind of magnitude. This is only their third 3 stages of hell in the history of the company. I mean, the first two were very, very good. But if they wanted to include and make it hellacious, why didn't they just use a Hell in a Cell match? I know everybody's thinking that. Yeah, you know, they could have done that. But ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to do that. Why? Because they ruined that too. Their August pay-per-view is now named, you know, it's been going on for the past 2 years. That's what their August pay-per-view is now. Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell was a specialty match at different pay-per-views. But now it's got its own pay-per-view name. And Vince McMahon claims he's smarter than Eric Bischoff and his former competition, WCW. Well, no, because consequently, and Sesame Streetwise tells me that all you're doing now is basically copying what WCW did. It's not smarter. It's not going forward either. It's actually going backwards. Because remember when the NWO started creating their own pay-per-views? Yeah, kind of retarded. Because WCW and the NWO were supposed to be separate groups on the show, yet Eric Bischoff decided that we need to have NWO pay-per-views all by themselves. And it's going to be, well, all NWO people, which even got stupider. So you see, Vince McMahon is trying to do a lot of things, and you heard what he told Stephanie on Raw when he said, well, you know, I think, what did your husband say? Whatever I got to say to him, he's not going to like what I say, what I think your husband, how he put it. Then, just to show people that he's still in charge, this wasn't ad-libbed. I mean, it kind of was and it kind of wasn't ad-libbed, but he told the writers to write it anyway. He told his damn writers to write this into the storyline just so he could say it out loud, because he liked hearing himself speak. He's like, I know what your husband said, and yeah, anyway, I've got a show to run, if you'll excuse me. With him saying that he's got a show to run, that's just another way, ladies and gentlemen, for him to let the world know, through his writers, I'm still in charge, I still call all the shots around here, I'm still the big man around here. Nobody crosses me. But then, of course, later on, we saw them, him and Triple H, you know, coming together to some degree. He's like, I want you in the office. I want you signing those papers. I don't want you in the ring. I want you to remember everything that I taught you. Which is legitimacy enough to show the world and to tell the world, when I die, this is the man that's going to take over. That's why he got a haircut. That's why Vince had him buy more suits. He doesn't really need any more suits. I mean, come on. I've seen Triple H's house years ago on YouTube. Pretty big house, but now you've got those two kids that you went off and you had Stephanie have two kids now, thanks to you, it was your fault. You probably don't really have any more room for the suits that Vince keeps buying you. It's ridiculous. But they've got the money to spend it on. Which is why I've been saying to get ready, because in a few short weeks, I mean, we haven't set a date yet, but in a few short weeks, I'm going to bring on the best panelist ever. And we're going to have a panel discussion about what people see in the company. Y'all remember my former co-host, AJ? He said he's willing to get on board, and I'm interested and anxious to hear his thoughts on this. Because he's got so many ways of analyzing how this could look. What would the company look like after Vince McMahon died? I mean, it's already in PG shape. But could it get any worse for them after Vince died? Hard to say, but like I said, just keep watch and keep paying attention for when that show is going to take place. It's going to be a very, very interesting show about, you know, the way things are. But as far as this Sunday goes with the Payback pay-per-view, and you realize, you do know that how quickly they had to rush this pay-per-view. They only had 6 weeks to do it. 6 weeks' time to build up the pay-per-view. So much that I told you guys last week. Remember I said, remember on our second commercial, which is also what we're going to do in about 15 minutes. We're going to take our second commercial like we always do from last week. Remember last week after the second commercial when I said, after this commercial, I'm going to find out what's going on with this pay-per-view. And also, you know, from last week on the commercial break, the tickets for this pay-per-view aren't even sold out. Like I said, the reason why it's not sold out, number one, it's Father's Day. Nobody's going to care about a wrestling event on Father's Day, although some might. The second reason why they only had 6 weeks to build up from this is because they scratched the former name of the pay-per-view, Vengeance. Which means, you know damn well they had to spend money on a new brand name. You know, the name of the ticket will say the name of the pay-per-view. They probably don't even have ticket stubs that say Payback printed up yet. I mean, today's Friday, tomorrow's Saturday, and then the pay-per-view's on Sunday. Oh my God, damn it, Vince. You're leading us all down the Sesame Street road, and we don't like this road. It's pathetic, it's stupid. Really, really stupid. And I'm not going to say the R word. I know this is a rated M show. I like to create it that way. But if I say the R word, I'm going to offend some people. I know I will. So I'm not even going to say that word. But you guys should all figure out what that word is. Because that's what it is. It's gotten us so far to this point. I mean, Impact Wrestling's even got a better show than that. Because, well, of course, they've got Rampage Jackson, who will be their top marketer for a few weeks. I got to welcome XFL MMA into the chat room. How you doing? He's a first-time listener. Oh, thank you. Thank you for applauding the show and saying it's a great show. But trust me, because we're going to get into that too. And remember I talked about last week that Vince McMahon had promised and guaranteed the world that for the first time ever, he's got a plan to combat against the NBA Finals. Which means he knows he has to keep up his Monday night shows. But like I said, it's nothing compared to what Dixie Carter had. Dixie Carter, with the help of Hulk Hogan on the Impact Wrestling side, they've got Rampage Jackson. And I've told Vince before, because he wants to know, how are they tripling their money? Well, unlike Vince McMahon, who only authorizes and forces everybody to only work for him when they're under contract with him, Dixie Carter and Impact Wrestling, on the other hand, they're actually giving, you know, Bobby Lashley will make him, I don't know why they're calling it, you know, a debut, because Bobby Lashley has been in Impact Wrestling before. He wrestled there a few times. Because it's Bobby Lashley, Rampage Jackson, and more are coming. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, watch. More are going to come from the UFC world. More are going to come from the MMA world. All around. And like I said, Vince wants to know why everybody, why guys like Bobby Lashley and Rampage Jackson are making triple the money. Because she's letting them work and wrestle for Impact Wrestling. But she's also letting them do the mixed martial arts thing. They're competing in two different arenas. That's why they're still able to get paid double the money. See, this proves my theory. Vince is not a real genius as he claims to be, and I mean, hey, Stephanie McMahon, you're the one that called out your own father on national television when she said, well, you know, my father, you know Triple H, come on. My dad, your father-in-law, our children's grandfather, he's how old now? Wow, she actually threw her dad under the bus on live television. Well, not live, taped. And don't worry, too, because the synopsis of this Sesame Street show has taken even a wider range. Trust me, just stay in the chat room after the show goes off the air. And you're going to finally hear the way that they talk to each other before shows. And how Michael Cole is a real, real fucking retard. Yeah, I said it. I know I was trying to prevent myself from saying the R word. Because some people, they get offended when I say it. But it's true. There needs to be a new lead commentator. And the problem with WWE is that everybody that's a lead commentator, they want them to sound like Jim Ross. Jim Ross was a once-in-a-lifetime thing, a once-in-a-lifetime persona who had a passion and drive for announcing wrestling the way he did. You're not going to find anybody like him. Just like you're not going to find anybody like Rampage Jackson to make a shot out of the cannon, so to speak, and just blow things up. It's really what this is all about. And I mean, come on. The Sesame Street road sucks even more based on what I saw with Caitlin and AJ. And how we all thought that Biggie Langston and the Secret Admirer, that they had to throw this stuff in there. See, there's no secondary base storyline. And the reason why there's no second base storyline is because Vince tells the writers, I only want one idea and one idea only, and just go with it. He doesn't give them time to even prepare or plan. I understand that we're in the fast days. Well, we've been in the fast days ever since 1995. You know, everything started speeding up, and now we've been a fast-paced world ever since. You got to get this done by a certain time. I'm sure most of you have that problem at your job. You know, I've got a deadline. Well, when's the deadline? By Monday. But today's Friday. Well, then you better get started and get that report done. Your deadline is approaching by Monday. That's how Vince is with the writers. You've got one time to go through with your storylines about each character. And involve something with the women, too. But it's kind of pathetic how Michael Cole, yes, I went back to him again, how he tried to use his voice to excite the crowd watching at home. He's like, oh, that was a vicious way between these two women. No, all AJ did was get bitch slapped by Caitlin And they rolled around the ring for a couple of times. And then AJ gets out of the ring and just runs off. They didn't really beat the hell of each other, Michael Cole, as you so insisted. It was nothing. Beating the hell out of each other would have been, you know, her jumping off the top rope or something, or using a damn steel chair against one another. Or something like that. But no, Vince, even though Vince has fully acknowledged that, well, there's this other world of real women fighters. I mean, I'm sure you guys have known for the last few years that there's an MMA world out there for women, too. And they're not afraid to get hurt. It's the same thing with the Bella Twins, with Caitlyn and AJ. Because Steve Austin told everybody one time in his book that I have, he said, if you want to become a wrestler and if you make it into WWE, and if you feel strongly about your own character but the writers feel a different way, he said, I know it's going to be a long process, but you got to do one thing, very, very important. You got to constantly make it an everyday job and do it every day, every time you see the writers, every time you meet with your road agent. And the road agent in charge of the show for that night, that you just wear them down and tell them, I can be this person. Don't worry about me. And don't worry about me getting hurt. That's what the women are getting tired of telling Vince. They just got tired of telling him. They gave up too easy. But they can do it. I mean, before Caitlyn got in WWE, she was playing the voluptuous cheerleader in the promotion CZW, remember? For those of you that follow independent wrestling. I mean, 10 years ago, she was getting her head bashed in every night. And she would still show up. I mean, she was kind of like the modern-day version of what Sabu was from ECW. We all know Sabu from ECW was the most homicidal, genocidal, death-defying wrestler that had amazing abilities. But now, because we're stuck in this Sesame Street PG kid-only atmosphere of, well, no, don't do that. I don't want, you'll get too hurt. No, don't do it. It's too risky. Don't take that chance. Well, then how are you supposed to get the next generation to believe in you, to believe in the product, to at least get behind wrestling once again? You know, and that may happen after Vince dies. Some of that might come back, some of it might not. It's just crazy how the world of sports has turned this around. I mean, the only one that wears down the writers and gets to say all the cuss words that he wants whenever he comes on the show is The Rock. The Rock has the right to say anything he wants because, well, he is The Rock. Exactly, Jim. They don't. Because the art of the sport and the entertaining art of the sport also has died down. everything had stopped. And so we're forced to be in this Sesame Street or PG world, whatever you want to call it. It's so controlling. Of course, you don't have to watch it. I watch it on Mondays because I'm waiting for that day. For that day for them either to say, we were walking around like a bunch of zombies since October, but now we're out of it. We're done. We're going to go back to the old ways. Right, Jim. You're right. I understand that, too. But people are actually watching it again. Thanks, in part, to Impact Wrestling. I mean, man. How crazy is that? We've got more to come right here. Don't go anywhere.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. Want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, because we are the 4-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Acromba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad in bed.
Yeah.
Crackers, that's good. Crackers are always good. It just... Wow. Does everybody really think that if you saw Impact Wrestling last night, that you know what's going on and you heard what Sting said about what he got planned, and which basically tells you that he's not retiring? I mean, sure, the show started with Hogan and Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray and that whole thing there. But the Bound for Glory series is coming, and it's time to have some Bound for Glory series qualifying matches. Bad Influence took on James Storm and Gunner. Bad Influence won. Then we had a second Bound for Glory series qualifier. Crimson returned. Crimson is back. The undefeated guy took on Joseph Park. But it's kind of the same thing because they didn't really let this match go on. You know how I told you earlier about with Caitlin and AJ, that whole situation on their side of things, and WWE went. Well, this is kind of like that. The writers actually, Impact Wrestling writers, actually let Joseph Park get over. He won. I was like, wow. Now I've seen it all in wrestling. I truly have. I can't believe it. But hey, you know, the third Bound for Glory series qualifier, Magnus, took on Kenny King and Rob Terry. Yeah, Magnus and Kenny were teaming up against Rob Terry and Matt Morgan. See, Kenny King's another one. He's another one of those illustrious UFC guys I was talking about earlier. I mean, see what I'm saying? If you want to be a wrestler, you better hope to God that you get picked by Impact Wrestling. I mean, sure, you'll have to deal with Hulk Hogan and his whole attitude behind the scenes. But the good thing about it is that Dixie Carter will allow you to wrestle there. And if you're a UFC fighter, you can work at both arenas and still get paid. Of course, with her, you'll get paid for what she pays. And you'll still get paid the big bucks from Dana White and UFC. Yeah, you can really afford a nice car then with both paychecks. That's like working two jobs, but you're the only guy doing it. But Magnuson ended up being the winner. And then we move on to match four, another Bound for Glory series, Eric Young. Eric Young returned. Do you believe that? Eric Young, his wife, ODB, he came out with her, took on Austin Aries. Austin Aries also made his return, and so did Bobby Roode. I mean, just a whole thing of that came out last night if you watched the show. Austin Aries won. The Bound for Glory series qualifier Battle Royal. Devon versus Ken Anderson versus Wes Briscoe versus Doc versus Garrett Bischoff versus Mike Knox. See what I was saying about the whole NWO thing? Sure, Eric Bischoff is no longer on television, but he is back as one of the executives now for television. Which means I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing involving all the eighth and the eighth members to have their own battle royal probably came from Eric Bischoff's brainiac idea. Even though we all know that this is not WCW. Bound for Glory Series qualifying number 6, Kurt Angle took on AJ Styles. What a match. What a match this was. AJ Styles did win. And he won in amazing fashion. It was beautiful. I loved it. But now some people are saying, well, gee, you know, somebody's missing from the announce table. Why is it only Taz and Mike Tenay calling things? Which I don't mind. But, you know, where's Todd Kinley been? Well, that's a great question, and I thought I was only going to play detective last week, per my friend Craig Brooks, who asked me to play detective. But for this subject about Todd Kinley, I got to play detective again. They are not confirming anything. They're not saying anything. They're just saying, well, don't worry about Todd Kinley. None of you wrestling people out there worry about him. Come on now. You can't just tell us not to worry about him and then in grand internet fashion, you can't just kick us out the door. What's going on there? Has he been fired? Has he been replaced? Is he doing a backstage job now that we don't know about? Dixie Carter, don't go AWOL on me like Vince McMahon does. You like to do that shit too. Wrestling fans are smart. We'll figure it out, Dixie Carter, don't worry. Whether Todd Kinley's been fired, whether he's no longer an announcer and probably in a backstage role now, I'm sure it has nothing to do with your website. That was the only reason why WWE had Joey Styles leave his post. Because they know that he had experience in doing the websites and stuff like that. Because, hey, he not only announced in the ECW days, he also launched the best-looking website ever. He was a certified webmaster for that company. So now he's doing the same thing for WWE's website. So whatever Todd Kinley's been up to, and if you don't want to share the information with us, that's fine. You know, I always say that, you guys have heard me say this multiple times, that the internet has ruined wrestling because you can find out, well, not just wrestling, every TV show has been ruined by wrestling. Do you know what happened on Gilmore Girls? Oh, so-and-so is now dating so-and-so. I was just using that show as a reference. Since my sisters love that show. Even though my sisters don't even pay attention to this show. Doesn't matter. The point is that the internet has ruined things for TV. Mainly wrestling. That's why I bring you guys the best wrestling news possible. So that you know what the hell's going on because it's, well, it's from the internet. So the internet will tell us the truth. And if you can't handle the truth, well, then get the fuck out. Because it's this observation that people are just out there. And they're doing it to do their work. And Jim, I'm sure all of my sisters love me. I'm sure my brothers love me too. I mean, it was back in 2004 or 2005, somewhere in there, where my brothers, my two brothers, and some of their young little friends actually called into the show. I was surprised by it. I didn't expect them to do that, but they did. So my family, I know my family loves me. They're just not big into the sports, into the NFL and everything else like I am. Maybe I was born in the wrong family. I don't know because they're not really sports savvy. I mean, some of them love baseball. other members love football. And then on top of all that, I'm the only Giants fan when it comes to baseball. And then half of us are Raider fans and the other half are Niner fans. I don't know how that happened, Jim, but it did. Maybe I was born in the wrong family. I don't know. It's just all mixed up in our family. Literally. Literally. Yeah, Jim, I'd figured you'd say that. I'd figured you'd go there. Oh my God. Jim kind of reminds me of our other fan, Coffee. By the way, I wonder why Coffee didn't join us in our chat room today. I don't know. DDP, what do you think? You think Coffee and Jim would? It's kind of like Coffee's twin is in the chat room. Don't you think so, DDP? I don't know why Coffee's not here, but, you know. Tampa Bay 1, Raiders nothing. Yeah, I know. But yeah, the real thing that, sure, they're pushing the Bound for Glory series, but their biggest contentment is, and the biggest thing that's drawing them money, is Rampage Jackson. This guy is truly, you know, a personalized personality. Yeah, that's what he is. He's a personalized personality. That just, he's there. And people are skeptical. They're like wondering, how is this all going to play out? The fact that Rampage Jackson is even in wrestling. Which, like I said earlier, like I've been saying throughout the whole show, since we only have 9 minutes left. I know, you hate it. I hate it too. It's sad when I have to leave you guys. But it's like I said, like I've been saying throughout the whole entire show today, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Sesame Street will never, ever become that in UFC. UFC will always be tough. There will never be no Sesame Street type fight in UFC because that's not what that sport was made for. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that more of the same with Rampage Jackson and Kenny King, both of them, Kenny King coming over from the MMA world, Rampage Jackson coming over from the UFC world, that more of these UFC and MMA guys are going to start to come over and start to filter and try and mobilize the landscape of TNA Impact Wrestling. I know it's not because of Hulk Hogan, it's not because of Eric Bischoff who's now behind the scenes. It will be because of Dixie Carter and her thoughtfulness. I mean, it would be like allowing Jim, if he was a UFC fighter. Yeah, come on, Jim. Haven't you been paying attention to what I've been saying this whole time? Rampage Jackson showed up at Impact Wrestling and cut a fantastic promo with Kurt Angle, who is an Olympic gold medalist, by the way. So they both have promised each other, and they were promising the world, that maybe down the line, maybe even at the Bound for Glory pay-per-view itself, that these two are going to beat the hell out of each other. And you know what? I hope it happens next week. Or maybe it will happen at the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. One or the other. I don't care if it's TV. Well, if it's TV, it better be damn good. The match itself. Rampage Jackson versus Kurt Angle? Oh, hell yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, he had in his acting career. See, it's a wealth of opportunity that this is what Dixie Carter is allowing. But if you go to Vince McMahon's corporation, you'll only be under contract to him. You'll get to do movies once in a while, but you won't be able to. I mean, Rampage Jackson is going to be able to do. I mean, that's why Kenny King, you know, was on the show last night. Why he's been playing different parts. And Kenny King and Rampage Jackson down the line are going to get the opportunity also to be able to fight in both wrestling, which is scripted, but also to stay in their main craft, UFC or MMA. I mean, this is a hell of an opportunity. And they'll be able to do commercials. They'll be able to do movies. They can do a lot of stuff because Dixie Carter is allowing them to work other places, not just on Impact Wrestling on Spike TV. Yep, that's true. That's true, Jim. He may go back there one of these days. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But I know that, I guarantee you that anything that happens in that world, in the world of MMA or UFC, or any other real sport, it won't be a Sesame Street sport. Everything else will, but not that. It'll never be that way. Ever. And they will still get to travel. Will be the best part. They can travel anywhere they want to. Oh, that may be. He may, Dana White may never take him back. Who knows what will happen. May travel overseas for all I know. And ladies and gentlemen, speaking of traveling, we've got Roger Noguera, the guy in charge of this channel, in the chat room. How you doing, pal? And ladies and gentlemen, keep tabs on the show because what have I been saying for 2 years? That one day it will happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. That one day you could be hearing the show and I could tell you that welcome to the show and I'm broadcasting from Chicago or from Florida. This year it looks like I might be traveling to the L.A. area. Yep. It's a long processing story, but yeah. DDP, how would you like that if I broadcasted from L.A.? I might be going to the Evil Empire's house. Yeah. I said the same thing, Roger. Bring that. We got a little bit of time. Jim, is there any place you would suggest me eating? Oh, I feel like having a burrito now. Large, big burrito. I know a burrito place down here by me that I can get a pretty good sized burrito for $3. DDP says, yeah, why don't you broadcast from Texas? Well, you never know. One day, man, it could happen. Taco Bell's okay, but I was talking about real burritos there, Jim. How about L.A., Roger? Any good places to eat down there? I still can't believe I don't remember the name of that new diner that they just opened up at the mall by me. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time we have. But don't leave the chat room. Don't leave the chat room. I've got that video link for you guys. Just some of the ways how Michael Cole and others in WWE make themselves look. It's very, very stupid. But at the same time, it's very funny. So if you're in the chat room, stay right there in the chat room. That way you can click on this link and watch it for yourself. In the meantime, take care. See you next week. Peace.
He looked and he thought he'd get John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Correct.
What, isn't that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell is
that
fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.